standing under the Pont de Mort, my fishing rod in hand, and the line cast way out, it had begun to tug. That great sensation of resistance, knowing that you have a struggle ahead. I guess that's what makes the difference. Well, I know it doesn't taste better. The fish we get in these waters, skinny city fish, pouty-lipped, and always looking like they're in a bad mood. I would no doubt pout too if I had been caught on a hook. So, anyway, once I had felt that initial tug, I started reeling in. That mechanical roll, smooth running from years of fine-tuning, counterbalancing the effect that I was just talking about because this bit is so damn easy. There is satisfaction in that too, though a different kind. Although saying that, the struggle and the ease do flip sides in those brief moments of reeling in. And there is, apart from the physical action, also a tense moment of doubt. Is it a fish? Is it an old boot? Big? Small? Am I going to make it? Is it going to get away? But then it came to the surface, a real beauty, a real specimen. I mean, you see thousands like it, but each time you catch one, it is like they are the first you have ever caught or ever set eyes on. They become particular, unique, and that's the thrill. Then once you've removed the hook with tenderness, holding the fish steady in your hands and facing it towards you, its mouth seeming to open with a grand announcement and then close again in embarrassment or indecision or irresolution or something. And all you can do is stroke its back and say, "There, there, I know. No need to say anything. I understand." But all the time, their lithe bodies wriggling, all ripped and pert. The bridge was always full at this time. Couples taking photos, inscribing their initials, and locking their love trinkets to the bridge. All unique, and yet all the same, rippling along the railing like fish scales, busy and alive with life and meaning and hope. Well, that's the thing. It is just an imitation. Because it has gone too far into excess, because it can no longer support its own weight. Well, so, I will get to that. There I was under the bridge with my fish miming in my hands, and this part really turns my stomach every time. Because when you put your finger in its mouth, and they take your finger like a baby its bottle, and then you pull its head backwards a little to test how much force it is going to take to break its neck. Well, at just this moment you see the beautiful pout of the fish turn real ugly, so ugly that you don't know how you ever found it attractive. until you let the pressure drop a little, and then you see again the little fish dependent on you for its life. But you know you have to end it, because there is no going back from that. So without another thought, you snap its neck. The fish shudders, spasms rippling through its body that sometimes last for hours, nerves writing out their final message, and then repose. But you see, when I was doing my knife work, my blade sliced across something hard, something metallic. When I washed it out, I saw that it was a key. I smiled at this. You know, although it was quite common to find bits of junk in the entrails of fish, God, I mean, look at the river. It's probably 50% junk. It's a little silly, I admit. You find keys on the floor all of the time, and it never occurs to you to pick them up or even ponder their significance. But a key that a fish has swallowed is food for thought. When I looked at it more closely, I saw scratched into the key were the initials BH plus TG, swimming in an asymmetrical heart. At least in that regard, it was accurate. I had an hour or so to spare, so I thought I might play a little game of matchmaking. I walked up to the bridge, casting an eye over the locks that now seem to infest the bridge. From a distance, there is something pleasing about them all as a mass. But when you get up close, all the rusted hearts, all the scribbled on promises, they just seemed a mess. And then, about halfway across the bridge, exhausted by the search and losing sight of what I was doing there, the sun scorching the back of my neck and the fish spoiling in my bag, I saw it, that crass heart, the very same inelegantly scribbled initials on a small bronze padlock, surprisingly small in comparison to its neighbors, who all appeared bold and overconfident. I felt a little uneasy as I inserted the key and untangled its body from the grating of the bridge. I quickly pocketed the padlock and key and walked away. It was only when I got home that I heard the news about the collapse. I joke with my therapist that I always dreamed of doing something big. She's yet to laugh.